This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo, with Play Tessie, Joe Braverman, producer of Play Tessie, all the gangs here, Mitch behind the glass. And as we have so many times, Brian Abraham, dream maker slash farm director, the guy who is also making me carry around a Baseballs and Boring sweatshirt in the backseat of my car for about a month, because this is how we pay. We pay in sweatshirts and smiles. Thanks. So you'll get your sweatshirt soon enough. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited.
I know you are. This is a Roman Anthony free conversation. The only thing I'll say is, do you know who's leading off for the Worcester Red Sox today?
Roman Anthony.
Oh, okay. And by the way, history being made today, first time in the history of baseball, the first two players in a batting order, both with the first name of the same three letters.
There's no way.
How about that? Incredible.
You made it too general.
That's the type of next level thinking that you have, Brian. Thank you for that.
We're trying to make memories here. That's what we're about.
Hold on, let me write that down.
They're focused on making history.
In case people don't know what we're talking about, Roman Anthony leading off, and Romy Gonzalez, he is hitting second. All right. Like I said, we know the deal with the Roman Anthony. I want to talk about Marcelo Meyer. We aren't going to talk about one, we're going to talk about the other. And you thought that those days were come and gone because now that he's graduated from your tutelage. But still, I am so impressed with his mentality. Like, do you watch the game last night, Brian? I know you're running around doing stuff.
No, I did. I did watch the game.
Okay, so you see him make that play, right? You see him make the diving play. He gets up. He pounds his chest. He's ogled by the security guard. Like, the whole ball of wax. But my point is that that's the type of, like, confidence that you say, that kid's ready. When did you first understand that he was going to be ready in that respect? And how important is it to have that mentality when you get to the majors?
I think the first time I met him, in a lot of ways, you know, he had a different feel about him. He had leadership both on and off the field. The players gravitated toward him, and I think we've seen that as he's progressed up the minor league system. And you know, being around him during struggles, during successes, the even keeled attitude, the willingness to win, the willingness to have success, the confidence in himself no matter what. I think we saw that, you know, this past year, very much so during his time in Worcester when he was able to play. But yeah, it's certainly important. I think you want guys to want to have the at bat, to want to have the ball in their hand, want to have success, and when that success isn't there, be able to bounce back and handle that as well. So it's certainly not as simple as just, hey, today's the day that we see it. It takes time for sure. But I think Marcelo and a lot of our guys have that, I guess you would call it maybe an it factor about them, where you know they're going to be able to handle a bunch of different situations no matter what's going on.
Well, one of the balancing acts for minor leaguers is, yeah, it's like AAU, right? Your goal is to perform, to be perceived as a major leaguer. Not a selfish thing, but it's about your own performance. And yeah, you want to win for your team and you want your team to win. But a lot of times, like, that, it's just human nature. It's going to be put on the back burner. Being around Marcelo, like, and witnessing him after losses in Worcester, whatever it is, I get the sense that, like, this kid has already been trained in that respect. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it feels like this kid isn't just, hey, I got to make my way in the major leagues and I got to do what everyone's going to be happy just so I can stay here and impress and be the top prospect everybody wants. But I get the sense that there's a very real thing there when it comes to, I'm here to win games. It's not a cliche. I don't care what team I'm on. I'm here to win, and I'll come back to that moment yesterday. That's how I felt.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think ultimately as an organization, that is the goal. The goal is to win. The goal is to win a World Series. There's a lot of individual development and a lot of different things that happen on the minor league side throughout young players' careers that is garnered toward the players' improvements. But again, that's all to put a team on the field in Boston that is going to compete every day, that is going to compete for a division, compete for a world championship. And I think Marcelo, you know, he's definitely had a unique path as a young player. You know, he's been a top prospect. He was a, you know, first round pick in the draft, you know, potentially number one overall at the time. The spotlight's kind of been on him. So he's been able to deal with, I think, a lot of that spotlight, you know, at times scrutiny because that spotlight is there, but, you know, the pressure of kind of living up to that. And I don't think he just wants to live up to it. He wants to be better than just what people think he could be and what he thinks he can be. And then ultimately that's supporting the team on an everyday basis to win. And that's not always a hit. That's not always making a play in the field. That might be running the bases. That might be a dirt ball read. There's a lot of different things that come into play.
Hey, Brian, Gordo here. We talked about this guy on this program before, but I think Franklin Arias has jumped on a lot of people's radars. This is a guy who's been a top 100 prospect. And again, we've talked about him here before, but just got ranked number 8th on the Athletics top 50 prospects list. He's up in high A with a 374, 945 OPS, just tearing the cover off the ball, playing a great shortstop. What have you seen from him that you think has gotten him such national recognition at this point? Because to get in the top 10 on one of those lists is no small feat.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does a lot of things really well. He's certainly on the younger side at the level he's playing in. So, you know, when those types of things come out, that is something that I think evaluators take into account. Being a younger player at a level relative to the others you're playing against is an important thing because you have more time to develop and more opportunities to get better, whether that be adding good weight, adding strength, and other skills that will continue to develop as you get older. So I think for him, you know, his ability to impact the baseball has been something that we've been really excited to see this year. It's really kind of taken a step forward as he's gone to Greenville. He's seen a couple homers and seen extra base hits. Love basketball. Certainly that's important, you know, walks and seeing the baseball. But I think at the end of the day, guys get paid to impact the baseball. And I think if you look at the middle of the orders or guys get paid the most money, that's what they do. So to have a guy who can play solid defense, to have a guy who can run the bases, to have a guy who has really good swing decisions, I think his K rate and his walk rate are, you know, close 1-to-1, which is incredibly strong. And then a guy who's impacting baseball over the field. You know, it's a very special player. There's not a lot of guys that can do all those things. So certainly room to grow, certainly room to develop. But I think what we're seeing so far at the age that he's at and the pace at which he's maturing and developing has been really fun to watch.
Brian Abraham, Dreammaker / Farm Director with us. Brian, I'm going to get wonky here because, you know, a lot has been made of analytics. A lot have been, this is all we talk about in baseball. Not all we talk about. We talk about the great game of baseball in so many ways, but you have to look at ways that things are measured differently. Thou who shall not be named, otherwise known as Roman Anthony, has more balls hit over 100 miles an hour than any player in the minor leagues, I think. But I want to go to, obviously, that's a valuable analytic. I want you to find somebody else in your farm system who you can say, this guy is also doing something along those lines. So this guy is doing something that we are measuring that maybe it's coming out in the wash when it comes to batting average and OPS. Maybe it's not. But this guy is impacting the ball or throwing the ball in a way which you're going to have to take a little bit of a deeper dive to really appreciate how good this guy has been.
You know, I would say just, you know, it's hard to just say one player. I think the reality is that we are looking at a lot of information and numbers that are kind of under the surface that dictate how we put together development plans and how we put plans in place for our players to improve. You know, something like hard hit balls or baseballs that hit over a certain miles per hour, and, you know, dictate that a guy's hitting the ball consistently hard. Again, that's a really strong positive. I think, you know, A rate as a pitcher is an important thing. Swing and miss in the zone is an important thing. You know, there are a lot of things that we're looking at, you know, taking the information so we can ultimately make the best decisions possible. You know, I'll bring this guy up because I said his name before, but, you know, someone like Nelly Taylor. Again, another guy who hits the ball really hard consistently. And then I think, you know, when you have certain skills that are scalable that can lead to success in the major leagues, it's really refining the areas around those particular skills that are really strong so he can be a complete player. So, you know, a guy hits the ball really hard, but maybe his swing decisions aren't as strong. So it's helping with improving zone contact, or it's helping with improving chase. So, you know, the floor is raised for that player, and ultimately they can be impactful maybe in one space, but those other spaces are all really strong as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. Certainly, I do not have all the answers. We do not have all the answers. But I think at the end of the day, it's just let's take information that we have. Let's make bets on things that we know lead to success and then push the areas that we know we need to improve upon and try to give the guys the best resources and plans to improve in those areas. So it's really, at the end of the day, on our staff to put those plans in place for our players that are allowing them to work through them, because it is the player's development. You know, we can have all the information we want. We can have all the plans we want, goals we want. But if the player's not bought in, if the player's not understanding of what is needed and they don't believe in it, it's really hard to see those improvements. So, you know, that goes back to player education. That goes back to the relationships with coaches and dealing with the day in and day out grind of a baseball season on top of developing skills that are going to be really strong for the long term. And that's why I think, you know, the minor leagues are so unique. We are asking players to do some things that might not necessarily be success that particular night, but will allow for success over the long term, the upper levels and in Boston.
Three fun facts about Nelly Taylor. Number one, he was Christian Campbell's roommate all last year and in spring training this year. Number two, scouted and signed by Dante Ricciardi, son of your former boss, Brian, J.P. Ricciardi. And number three, has the approximately same max bench press as myself, 300 pounds. Thank you. Gordo, what do you got?
Yeah, we can't go this whole time without talking about Justinsson Garcia, who...
Well, we could.
I think that would be a disservice.
Okay, go ahead.
Nine triple-A games so far, he's got an 1124 OPS. But in 33 double-A games, he had a 748. So on the surface, it doesn't stand out quite the same. I'm curious, what did you guys see in him while he was in double-A that stood out, that showed that he deserved a promotion, needed to get promoted and see that next level of pitching? And obviously, you guys made the right decision. He's crushed it in triple-A so far. Just curious what you guys saw, because we saw something similar when Roman Anthony got promoted. I think it was from low-A to high-A a couple of years ago, where the surface numbers didn't exactly stand out, but you guys saw the batted ball data, and he took off as soon as he got promoted. So was it kind of something similar here with Garcia?
Yeah, I think that's another really good example. So credit to you for picking him out. You should be doing my job. But yeah, again, a guy who hits the ball hard. I think one of the focuses for him over the past year has been to improve his swing decisions. That's something that has been the case as he progressed up the levels last year. Really, I think limiting the chase and making swings at pitches in the zone that he can do damage with. And I think there's a lot of underlying information, a lot of underlying data that we were tracking that we really relied upon and that we wanted him to prove upon that he did. You know, his walk rate increased, his K rate decreased, his swing and miss decreased. And there were a lot of things that we felt like challenging him with that next step. This was the time. You know, there's a lot of other things that also come into these decisions, playing time, where someone is on the roster. He's obviously a very, very strong defender, so that makes it easier as well. A guy who can play all three outfield spots in AAA, you know, he's going to get solid defense. So, again, there's a lot of different factors, but I think to me the swing decisions was something that was really important for us. And, you know, he's shown that when he does make good swing decisions, when he does swing at pitches in the heart of play, he's going to do damage. So it's been fun to watch. Obviously, it's only been a short amount of time up in AAA, but I always appreciate when we promote a player and they make us look good. So I'll take that from him so far.
All right, Brian. Anybody getting promoted from one level to another today?
Not today, but you know, we'll see. It's a wonderful game and a lot of excitement coming the next couple of days. So we'll see what happens.
Little tease. These guys are gonna hose these guys down right now. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The call lines must be flooded.
Right now they're ready to go. All right. Well, hey, listen, thank you for all that you do. Keep up the good work. You're doing a great job, and again, please take the sweatshirt out of the back of my car, please. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll try to grab it this week. Thanks, guys.
All right, Brian Abraham, Farm Director, Dreammaker. He joins us. We always appreciate it. We got to get going. 617-779-7937. I mean, how could you not listen to that last line, fellas?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, I mean, right? Like,
I'm giddy.
Joe's
I'm
ready.
Giddy
to,
now.
Joe's,
we Joe, thinking, I'm giddy.
Joe's face is flushed right now.
We thinking, on. Like, you know, coming back to Fenway Park
on Monday. Is he talking about Brian Van Bell or something? Like, what's going I don't know.
Zach Penrod's back.
I don't know. But dare to dream. I do think that we are going to get the Roman Anthony promotion.
This week.
Oh, yeah, definitely this. I think this week. Now, is it going to be tomorrow? No. I don't know.
It's not going to be. No, because they're not going to send him to Atlanta for one
Why
day.
Why not?
Why would they do? They would have just sent him to
That's
Atlanta
true.
For the
day game tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't
kind
know.
Of awkward time. But they could send him up to Boston.
Who knows? Who knows? They want not only the return of Kenley Jansen, but the promotion of Roman Anthony.
Kenley Jansen, obviously the bigger star.
Yeah,
line.
Okay. All right, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball is Boring Show. I'm Rod Bradford, Joe Braverman, producer, Play Tessie. Gordo, Play Tessie host. Mitch, behind the glass, doing an excellent job. And speaking of part of that excellent job, he's going to trend right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox beat the Braves yesterday 5-1. Trevor Story had a homer as he and Devers both had two RBIs. Abraham Toro had three hits in the win. Lucas Giolito went 4 2/3 innings, one earned run, and three Ks. Here was Abraham Toro and the importance of yesterday's win.
Well, you know, we just had an off day tomorrow, so that gave us a chance to reset. And again, I don't feel like we're playing bad. We just playing every single game. We're on it, and, you know, we've been losing some tie games, and today feels good.
The Red Sox are back in action today at 4:10. Walker Buehler takes the mound for the Sox. Spencer Schwellenbach for the Braves. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball has the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10 right here on WEI Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. In the NBA, the Pacers host the Knicks for Game 6 tonight at 8. The Pacers will try to close it out on their home court as they currently have the 3-2 lead. The winner of this series will face the OKC Thunder in the NBA Finals starting June 5th. And in the NHL, Panthers and Oilers are in the Stanley Cup Final. Oilers host the Panthers for Game 1 this Wednesday, June 4th at 8 p.m. My name is...
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mitch Sabatelli, and that's, I like everything right now. I'll do a little rock, a little rap.
No, like, are you like a metal guy, or are you
not really. I'm more
rock
of like
guy.
More of a late 90s, early 2000s.
Ooh.
So like stuff like that.
I'm Rob Bass and Came to Get Down. No, that's early
90s. Yeah,
yeah.
A little late 90s action.
All right. Well, anyway, speaking of, speaking of excitement, these guys, they can't even speak. They're so excited. They're so excited, right?
I'm so ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna prepare my day for it.
I can't believe you said the line.
It was like the exciting times in the next couple of days.
I wrote it down. You ready, Rob?
Yeah. Oh, is this going to be a Gordo
it's
aggregation?
It's going on the Twitter. Yeah, it's happening right now. Does it count as an aggregation if I was on the show? I don't think this is just a report.
No, but you have to credit where it came from.
Right. And it was on here?
Yeah.
On WEI on the Baseball Supporting Show.
You could do what I strongly advise against all young reporters when you say told me. Like, don't ever do that. Like, that's told me. Like, come on. Like, no. You just this.
What about told us?
No. You can say told us. That's fine.
Told us on WEI.
Told us on WEI. It's fine. That's good.
He said, a lot of excitement coming these next couple of days. And then we all go, oh. And he said, little tease. Little tease.
You have to include that in the tweet. Oh.
And then me saying how I had to hose you guys down. 617-779-7937. We are on till the start of the pregame show. Dan Ball, Joe Braverman, who's here. He's going to be producing, right? Correct?
No, we got the great David Azar doing
it. Oh, David Azar. Oh, you're just here.
I'm just here for
I thought you were here producing. No.
I'm here for the game of baseball.
Oh, you're here.
Joe's here for the vibes.
He's walked in.
Good vibes for the first time.
How do you feel? Yeah. How do you feel? You got a lot of aura today.
Yeah. I will say it's gaining.
Yeah, it's gaining.
Joe does have more aura today.
At the beginning of the show, I broke him down to build him back up.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I broke him down. I broke you down. You're reeling a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like slowly building you up.
Right. You got to get knocked down before you start the climb.
It's got the nice thank you. Chain on. All right. Let's go to John Watertown. Hey, John. How are you, my friend?
McFarland. Okay. This guy, highly educated Greg Breslow. I get it. But he is just, I think Mrs. Breslow can do the same thing because the whole baseball savant operations is just based on computer printouts and all analytics on everything. They don't even stay to watch the game.
Are you saying, John, that the Boston Red Sox organization is being run by AI?
Yeah, what was Theo's computer's name? What was that computer like?
That was going back. I'm drawing a blank. What was it? I forget.
Help me out. But Christian Campbell, he cannot hit lefties. He can't. It's impossible for him to hit a lefty. So he really needs to be sent back down. You can check all your baseball savant numbers and everything else on him, but he cannot hit lefties. They got to teach him how to do that. Forget about sliding and all this other stuff, okay?
Well, no, and John, so, and that was part of my five-point plan. I mean, I don't understand with the Christian Campbell. I think Christian Campbell is going to be a good baseball player. But I just, for the life of me, didn't understand trying to power through this really awkward month, which they all have them. Everybody, every young player has them. But it's okay to go back down, to get confidence, particularly while you're trying to learn a new position, and then come back up. For the life of me, I didn't understand that. And now, you know, you have him. He got a couple hits yesterday. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it'll turn. Maybe I'm wrong. But all I know is this.
Yeah, that's because his family is there and stuff. Well, yeah,
some home cooking.
Analytics. Yeah.
He knows how to hit. He's hit everywhere he can hit. But he's just got to go back down and retool again and reload. Brian Abraham can help him out.
Yes, well, that's right.
That
Dream maker,
true.
Brian Abraham. John, thank you so much. We got to get going, but thank you so much for the call.
Carmine, by the way, was the computer.
Carmine!
Thank you to the 401 on the text line.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, how could I forget Carmine? I mean, think about that. It was like what is this weird computer? Like, Carmine. Think it would never. You would never, ever. Now, Carmine is made up of literally 100 people who are in research and development doing all this stuff. You don't
Carmine, Carmine 2,
there's
Carmine 3.
There's a million Carmines out there. You all right, Gordo? You're just staring down.
I'm tweeting the
I know, okay. I want to. So let's talk a little bit about Devers.
It's more ears on the
show. All right, let's talk about Devers.
Oh,
I know.
You know how to get my attention.
Yeah, I know I do.
hey, look, here's Rafi Devers. Look.
So,
here's the carrot.
So,
come on, Gordo.
Yeah. So, and I see you going back and forth with people, Gordo, on social media about this. When Rafael Devers is their best hitter. Rafael Devers has won them games. Rafael Devers is absolutely part of the solution, not part of the problem. Except, part of the problem is this trying to get everybody on the same page, trying to get everybody on the same track, trying to get the right perception out there, trying to free up the best lineup that you can with what you have, all that. And all those things that I mentioned were not conducive to what Rafael Devers is doing now. And so when people see Rafael Devers does the DH spot and say, look, just leave him alone. That's fine. All right. It is what it is. That's what we're going to live with. We know he's not playing the field. He's not playing the field. We know that, okay? But that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be some analyzing of this unbelievably awkward and weird situation, which they keep talking around. I talk to anybody in baseball. The first thing they'll ask about the Red Sox is, like, what is going on? How can he not possibly just play a different position? How can this happen? And the answer is, we know. The answer is behind the scenes. We know the answer. We know that they painted themselves in the corner and trying to placate him after they saying, you're only going to have to DH. And then they asked him to not play a different position and say, too bad. You only asked me to play DH. I'm putting away my glove, even though, and the thing that got me, and I've said this a couple different times, at the end of the game the other day when they lost that last game in Milwaukee, and you have Devers, who I think Rafael Devers in a lot of ways is a really good teammate. I think Rafael Devers is a really good player. And they show him, and he's on the bench staring straight out. And you know, a lot of times you say, oh, look at that player. Like, he's just – this is killing him. Losing these games is killing him. But I just can't help but think, he's sitting there. Does he realize that it would be a lot easier to win games if either you just – if you play the position, but even if you just worked out at the position? I don't know. Because what this message is sending – that clubhouse, whether they want to admit it, whether they accept it, whether they know it or not, is that you aren't teaching these young guys the right thing. You need leaders in that clubhouse. You are paid $300 million. You are perceived as a leader. You have to be a leader, and you are not leading the right way. That is not negotiable. There is no room for interpretation when it comes to that. There is plenty of room for interpretation when it comes to, well, Rafael Devers, you can win with or without him. But it's what I'm saying is it's two different conversations, and people have to get their head around that.
No, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, people, you alluded to it at the beginning of what you just said right there about, yeah, Rafael Devers as a DH this year, he might be hitting as well or better than we've ever seen him hit, and that's undeniable. But what also is undeniable is that this lineup right now, as it's constructed without Alex Bregman, without Tristan Casas, with Trevor Story being the non-factor that he's been, it's what? Three deep before you hit a bunch of rookies, and you know, then you get to the Sadon at the bottom.
And by the way, and I know that you're a Yoshida guy.
And yeah, yes and no. He's a big league hitter.
Okay. What he also is a guy who probably isn't going to strike out as much as everybody else is striking out.
Exactly.
That's one of the things, many things that you're missing with Bregman. A guy who doesn't strike out. And we've seen that time and time again over the last week since Bregman's been out, where you have key times and you strike out. Why do you lose one-run games? It's because you do not put the ball in play when it counts the most.
Right.
And
you've seen it over and over
again. Maybe
you're
cheated 4-3. I don't know. But all I know is this. He can hit. He can physically hit.
He can hit.
Yeah.
And to me, you're talking about Rafael Devers sitting, you know, head in his hands, and it's like that's where the Nesson camera goes, is Rafael Devers clearly upset with the tough losses. But I said it on Play Tessie. I have a hard time feeling bad for him specifically when there's something that he has the power to do to jumpstart the process, to deepen the lineup, and he's digging his heels in and not doing what's best for the team. And you know what? If he plays first base and he has a 720 OPS the rest of the year because of it, then I'll sit here and tell you I was wrong. But I think you have to be willing to do anything to deepen the lineup. Take any sort of chance, because we've seen this lineup, one run, two runs,
you know, and,
one run.
And unfortunately for Devers, there's the example. Julie McWilliams just talked to Mookie Betts about this. Mookie Betts, he's playing shortstop. He's hurt now, but he's playing shortstop. Why? To free up, as he said, to get guys there, to free up spots in the roster, to make the team better, all that. And you know what? His numbers had dipped. His numbers had dipped. But you know what? It still made him a better team.
Exactly.
It made them a better team. And that's what it comes back to. And I have never seen anything like this. And I understand exactly why it's happening, because I've said this a bunch of times. I've seen it a bunch of times where some guys – where they feel like the disrespect in their eyes, they don't look at respect as $300 million. They look at disrespect to how dare you ask me to do this, and then how dare you to ask me to play another position after you ask that. Disrespect.
Which is fair, by the way. He can feel that way.
Well, he can feel that way, but what happens is it overtakes common sense.
Yes.
And
that's where I draw the line.
Right. And so I look at it as when you look at this team, they can win with Rafael Devers DH-ing. They can. They can.
Can they? With this iteration of the lineup before Bregman comes back, do we think this team can stay?
It makes it a lot more difficult. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But you can win, but that's not the point. The point is you have to get everything on the right track. And we said this before, guys. How powerful would it be just to have Rafael Devers doing what he did on opening day in Texas, which is take a glove and field a position in pregame? And if that glove is the first baseman's glove, even better.
Do you think that would just – it just feels like that would release so much – like, I know they don't talk about the tension, but surely that's a divided – it's a divided situation amongst the fan base. Clearly, it's going to be divided in that clubhouse, too. It's undeniable.
Both sides are wrong. It's just who's wrong the worst in the fan size.
Yeah, it's a good point, Joe. But at the same time, it's like – I think they're – when it comes to Devers – it's just two different conversations. And the thing that drives me nuts is that you have a clubhouse. You have these players. You have a bunch of players. The players who have been there, the players who aren't on one-year deals, you know, the Bregmans, those Bregmans, the Buellers, those guys, those are one-year deals. The Alitos, they're one-year deals.
The ones who come in from the outside.
Right, okay. But the players who are have in the last 3 years have been here don't know what it's like to win and don't know – and haven't had that guy who has said, this is the way we do things. This is how we sacrifice for the team. They haven't had that. Jaron Duran's done his best to be that guy. But he's one of these guys who's also coming up. They have not experienced winning. And so what you had hoped and what they had hoped with it when Bogaerts left, that Rafael Devers was going to step up and be that guy. And it's been just the opposite. He's a great player. He's a great player. But it can't.
What message does it send to guys who are going to make a lot of money in their futures? Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell just got paid. It sends the message that when you're established in this league, you say what
and they can and
career.
Everybody in that clubhouse cannot like Breslow. That's fine. But what you have to understand is that those players in that clubhouse, anybody who said Rafi, I'm with you, man. They lied to you. I'm with you. Like, you do what you got to do. Anyone in that clubhouse who thinks that that's the right thing, I can't get my head around that.
No, you're right. And there's two conversations because I think it's fair to be on Rafi's side that, yeah, they did him dirty. They told him one thing. And I'm not talking about the second time around. I'm talking about moving him to DH in the first place. If they told him he was going to play third base long term, that's kind of ridiculous.
At the same time, though, he's got to humble up and understand. Like,
no,
instead of selfish,
that's the
issues,
other conversation.
Being
it's
selfish,
moving,
okay.
Forward,
your
who
team
can fix
first.
It? Who can fix it moving forward? There's one guy that can fix it moving forward. It's Rafael Devers.
Right, exactly. He's not budging off of it. And that puts and it comes back to the Cora conversation.
Puts the team in an awkward spot.
It comes back to the Cora conversation where you can't for Cora. You know, and I'm not saying this is apples to apples by any stretch of the imagination, but when David Price was going through his stuff in that clubhouse, it was like John Farrell was caught in the middle of that. You know, he knew that Price had a big part of that clubhouse. He also knew that, you know, what was right and wrong. And you do not want to get caught in the middle. And you have to balance everything. And I think that's why you have the McAdam report about, you know, why Breslow was the one who talked to Devers. That can't be the case either. You have to either be, this is how it is, or this isn't how it is. That's it. All right. Everybody, boy, man, you talk about Devers, the phone lines, man. Yeah. I want to go to Mitch. Can we go to Joe in Lincoln real quick? What's up, Joe? How you doing?
Good. I think you guys really have it all wrong. I mean, I'm looking at it from Devers' point of view. I mean, he considered himself a third baseman. Everything was all set, even though he wasn't great. Then they asked him to be DH, and you know, it understandably says, well, what are you saying? But so then he's DH. Turns out he does well at it, not having to focus. And then, you know, they ask him to be first base. And my first question, why the hell didn't the Red Sox do a better job of preparing themselves for injury at first base?
They messed it up.
The Red Sox screwed up. And why you're putting it on Devers?
So
Devers is
the Red Sox messed it up. Devers is the only one who can fix it moving forward. It is their fault that they're in this position.
So should David Ortiz, wasn't David Ortiz pretty much a DH?
That's a different situation.
No. Wait a second.
at
David,
that time.
David Ortiz is you know, he had to play, when he had to play first base, he played first base, right?
Yep.
I mean,
but
this
was in the World Series or something.
No.
Like
it was interleague play. That was interleague play. But
or
Joe, you bring up good points. Where the Red Sox messed up, they didn't get out ahead of it in the offseason far enough. They can refute that. I don't care. Like,
100%.
They didn't get out ahead of
no
it.
Doubt.
Like, when you have a meeting the Friday before spring training starts, then that's not good. You whatever way you could, you needed to get out ahead of it more in a better fashion than you did.
Well, why didn't they do? Why didn't the Red Sox take some heat off them by saying, you know what, everybody, we screwed up. We did not adequately prepare. Now we're asking Rafael Devers to do something we shouldn't. You know, he is in his right to refuse. Or hope, in other words, to give him some pride. Clearly, a guy like Rafael Devers has a lot of pride.
You know what his pride is? I hate to be like this, Joe. His pride is, like, you show, give him his pride by saying, you're the face of the franchise. You're getting the biggest contract in franchise history. This is part of what you should be paying for, along with being a good player.
Well, also,
that is the reality of
it. Hopefully, they told him they messed it up, too, when they met with him. And it's like,
well,
okay,
of course.
Listen, we should have handled this better. We understand that. But at this point, this is what's
best
for the team.
You know what, Joe? You know what, again, you raised some pertinent points. But when Devers talked to the media before they left town a couple weeks ago, one of the things he said killed his argument, killed it, which was, next thing you know, what are they going to ask me to play outfield? That was, it's done right there. It's done. That shows you where your mind is. That
yeah.
shows you you're not being sensical about this situation. Because they're not asking you to play the outfield. They're saying, mea culpa, we messed up, but you know what? If you want to win, can you at least even work out there a little bit. Even work out there a little bit to see if it takes. Maybe it won't take. Maybe you won't be any good at it.
Well, but why put it on Devers? Why don't you say the Red Sox, you need to go out as quick as you can and get a legitimate first baseman.
Because
Devers can continue in the role that he really likes.
Well, Joe, thanks for the call. In a perfect world, yeah, of course.
They tried
to. Of course.
They did look into it.
Yeah, well, what, who? Gurriel?
Nathaniel Lowe?
Okay, fine. I mean, but that doesn't happen. It's the same situation that you've landed in last
May.
Year. Right.
It doesn't happen.
It's May. So they're trying to figure out this on the fly. And, yeah. So anyway, I understand there's that side. And I'm glad Joe called because he offers that perspective, which I think a lot of people are talking about.
Which he's not wrong.
We got a ton of calls to get to. We got to take a quick break, and then we'll be storming on into the pregame show. All right. So we see you all lined up. We're going to get to you, but we got to take a quick break. Boring show.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rob Bradford along with Joe Braverman, producer of the Play Tessie podcast. Gordo, co-host or whatever, tri-host of the Play Tessie podcast. What is
everyone's a co-host.
Featured
right?
head.
There's an unlimited amount of co-hosts.
Unlimited amount of co-hosts. It's amazing. At Play Tessie, go check it out. And Mitch, of course, doing a great job behind the glass. Let's go to the phone lines. Allison in Cambridge. Hey, Allison. How are you?
Hi, guys. I just want you, first of all, that Rafi was not given the huge contract to be either a glove man or to be a leader. that everybody, he was given it because it was bad. Everyone,
whoa, Allison, stop, please. One second. Yes, 90% of what he was paid in that contract was because of his bat. But you have to also remember, one of the narratives that they were trying to jam down our throat when he signed that deal was he is going to be the face of the franchise. He was going to be the leader.
Face of the franchise is different than leader.
Can we agree, Allison, that if you're the face of a franchise, part of that job description is being a leader?
I'll give you a scenario. If Xander had been signed and they also gave Rafi the contract, who would have been the leader and who would have been the face of the franchise? I mean, one would have more been the leader, which was Xander, and the face of the franchise, because he was the superstar in terms of everything, would have been But there's one more thing I want to say. What I was waiting for, I hate all this bad mouthing of, what I was waiting for was Joe Castig. Joe Castig was in the booth the other week ago, whatever. And I needed to hear his voice because I knew exactly what he would say. He would say that Rafi is such a sweetie, and he always has a smile on his face, and he's always so happy, and this is who he is. I mean, he's not at all somebody like Manny. He's not at all somebody who's full of anger or anything. He's Rafi, and he is kind of like, he was so hurt by the fact we're losing Xander. Xander was on the bench.
Okay, Allison.
Trevor Story. When Trevor Story got hurt last year, he put his hands over his
right.
head.
Right,
like,
Allison.
Oh, no.
Listen to me, Allison.
People to work on that. You have to look at the history of the situation.
Allison, listen to me, okay? Please. I'm not going to yell at you and say listen to me, but please listen to me. Is that you're right about all of that. But one thing can be true and another thing can be true as well. Rafael Devers Rafael Devers is a good teammate in a lot of ways. Rafael Devers is a great player. Rafael Devers, I think, is a good, really good human being who, you're right, his nickname coming up with Smiley, like all of that. So all of that is true. But what he is doing is not the right thing. Can we agree with that?
Yes, it's not the right thing for the team.
Intentional or not?
Oh, Allison's gone. Okay, sorry. I'm so in the zone of trying to explain.
No, but Rob,
thank you, Allison.
But
call back next week.
Are getting it twisted because a lot of people think that if you call out Rafi for not wanting to play the field and for handling the situation like he is, that you think that he's a bad guy, that he's a bad team. No one's calling him a bad teammate. No one's calling him a bad guy. But we are disagreeing with the decision that he's making here and saying that what he's deciding to do here. And digging his feet in the ground here, it's not what's best for the team.
There is evidence.
And his priorities
there is
may be
evidence.
Here.
There is evidence in the world of baseball that this tact is not done. And I mean, this isn't just me or you or
what
Joe.
Tact is not done?
Of a team needs something, you just say no, right?
Saying you don't see this often.
Almost never.
Yeah.
And it's not only us, right? Like I've had people on the podcast, like Mike Lowell came on the podcast, or you know. Whoever, we mentioned Mookie Betts' conversation with Julian. He didn't mention Rafael Devers specifically, but there are plenty of guys. Kevin Millar was, when he did a Nesson broadcast, was well ahead of this. I mean, he went on the broadcast and he basically said this before Rafael Devers even had his
He didn't even say
press conference.
He didn't even say no yet.
No, exactly. But everybody who's in this world knows this. And every player and every executive and everybody I talk to in baseball, I said this before, when the Red Sox come up, this is the first thing they talk about. This is the first thing they bring up. And none of them had said, you know, they might introduce, oh, well, the Red Sox really messed up and they did this wrong and that wrong. But none of them have said, oh, he's absolutely right by not playing a position and helping the team or working out. Nobody has said that to me. Nobody in the world of baseball. And I know that some people in that clubhouse might be saying that, but they're wrong. They're just wrong. And that doesn't make these guys in the clubhouse bad teammates or bad players or guys that you want to trade.
We still love Rafi. We still love
him. I mean, I don't love him. But
well, at a point, we love when he's hitting bombs.
I don't care if he hits bombs. I'm just like
I love when he hits bombs.
Yeah, you guys can love if he hits bombs. My point is that and Allison, I'm glad like she called. I'm glad that other people have called to give the other perspective of this, because people are getting this twisted that you can have Rafael Devers can be an enormous part of the solution to the Boston Red Sox winning. But when somebody does something that isn't in line with what is the best thing, no matter how you led it to that point, then we have to acknowledge it. Yeah. If Alex Cora makes a bad move, we can say he's a really good manager who made a bad move.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right?
People think if you say that Cora was wrong about something, that is basically the equivalent of, okay, this guy thinks he should be fired.
Yeah. No. Yes.
I don't know why everything gets escalated like that.
It's radio. One side has to be right, one side has to be wrong.
It's also social media too. It's everywhere.
All right, Wally in Fall River. Thanks for hanging on, Wally. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Rathro? I mean, this team is in a dilemma right now. The Red Sox are in a pickle. Casas got hurt, then Bregman. And you think Rafi would just say in the back of my, instead of being stubborn as a mule, he would give in. He said, look, I know, you know, I'll give it a shot. But he don't want to do it. He's making a lot of money, more money. He's making enough money to buy a third world country. But there's a lot of other things wrong. They're not going to make the playoff, guys. Deep down inside, you know it, and I know it. Too many holes. You start pitching to your bullpen. Your lineup is all left-handed. We're all just waiting for Anthony to come in. He's not going to be the answer. I mean, you're going to have basically a left-handed hitting lineup. But it's going to be interesting to see what Breslow does with all this.
All right. Thanks for the call, Wally. Are you going to make the playoffs, fellas? Joe?
I'm still holding out hope. That
no, yes or no. It's a yes or no.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Gordo?
No, I'm out.
Okay. Ooh. All right. You know
we're optimistic.
With the lineup they're putting out there without Alex
Bregman. Let's go to Steve in the car. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Great show. I just want to say, anytime I've ever had a job or hired someone, they have a job description of their duties. And the last line always says, anything else necessary for the betterment of the company. Something to that point. I can't believe the Red Sox would give someone $300 million and not have a leg to stand on with this contract. You know, that he can say, oh, I'm not having it, and just sit on the bench. And Cora has no power to say, Rafi, we need you at first base. We need you at third base. That the player has this much control, and the Red Sox have no power or no say in it.
Well,
it's just blows
my
mind.
It's Steve. So it's you're right. In the real world, none of this happens. But this isn't the real world. But yes.
Yeah, but he's getting $300 million, and the Red Sox, like, the player has the team hamstrung. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe he's saying I'm not having it. No, I can't believe he would even say that. If they said, Rafi, I need to sell programs tonight, his ass should be outside selling programs.
Yeah.
It's $300 million.
And Steve, no. thanks for the call. And you know, another thing that's brought up in thanks for the call, Steve. And another thing that's brought up is, you know, I think Lowell brought this up on the podcast. Say, like, listen, you know, if this was Rafael Devers 2017, much like we're seeing with Christian Campbell, it's not even a conversation. He's like, you want me to play outfield? I'll play outfield.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to be in the major leagues. And that's the unfortunate thing. This is the I'll come back to it. Is that he thought he had, or he was trying to implement something that was never going to be implemented, which was power over where he was going to play. That wasn't happening. And that frustrated him. And then when he got the avenue to actually implement it, unfortunately, he took that avenue. And here, Ed in Boston, real quick, what's going on, Ed?
Hey, just a quick question. Somebody's probably asked this before, but if you just put Devers on waivers, would somebody actually claim that contract? Then you can get rid of it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ed. I don't think
the Red Sox
that
would be crazy.
What we can't forget about
DFA story.
What we can't forget about is the value and the importance of Rafael Devers on this team. Like, I keep saying this until I'm blue in the face. It's two different conversations, guys. It's two different things. And probably, realistically, the most important thing is that he's playing, that he's hitting. But still, that doesn't make it in a team that's teetering, in a team that's desperately trying to get on the track that we're talking about.
The team that has almost no room for error right now. You're right, and no room for error. Yeah. This lineup is what? Three deep right now? Imagine it without Rafael Devers. I see a lot of people saying trade Jaron Duran. Imagine it without Jaron Duran.
Well, I will say this. is if they can get through, if they can get on the type of run they went last year, which, by the way, that wasn't a great lineup either. They get on that type of run, then you get Bregman back. You have a Marcelo Meyer who all of a sudden now you know he's a major league player. Put him at second. You have a better version of Story.
Roman Anthony will be up by that time.
And Roman Anthony's up, maybe, and maybe all of a sudden Christian Campbell figured things out and he's your first baseman. Boom, last 2 months, trade deadline, all is well. I'm an optimist. There you go.
I hope that happens, Rob.
I mean,
I hope it happens.
I mean, it could happen.
Devers,
you live and die by the Sox, but you're already calling them out?
I'm not saying they're done. There's so many things. I mean, Rob just listed out everything that needs to go right for this team to basically
But I don't think that scenario, I think the scenario of getting to that point with your head above water is a tough one. But I think that if you can get to that point in the head above water, which is realistic.
What is your head above water? Like, what Bregman is their record
third,
have to be?
A better
what
version
does the record have to be when Bregman comes
oh,
back?
Oh, and exactly where you are. I mean, what are you, four back in the wild card?
Yes, but four back in the wild card then is different from four back. Like, they're how many below 500 now? Is it two or three games
three.
Below 500?
Yeah, I'm just, I don't care. Like, if you're in the playoff conversation, you're in the playoff
just
conversation.
Just get into the dance.
Yeah.
I agree.
You're actually... You're actually better odds. I hate to do this Fangraph odds, but you're better odds at this point this year right now than you were last year. So there you go.
That's crazy.
That makes you feel better. All of a sudden, Gordo's going to say, yes, playoffs. I believe it. All right, fellas.
Can't argue
get
science.
Above 500 and I'll be back on the ship, but you got to be above 500
okay.
for me to
all right. Joe Braverman, what's your social handle?
At Joe Braverman PBP on Twitter.
All right, excellent. And Gordo, of course.
At BOS Sports Gordo.
Mitch, you on socials? You on the socials?
No, I got to get back on there.
Oh, they're that a boy.
Mitch is off the grid.
Off the grid.
He's off the grid, but he's also in the zone, which I like.
Except for the last one. But
no, you're in the zone. I love it. All right, excellent job. All right, Dan Ball, right, coming up. Pregame show. Very exciting. I appreciate everybody. Brian Abraham, dream maker / farm director. A little hint. Go check out Gordo's. He's got this quote from him. We'll see you next week. Baseball isn't boring.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.